You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You feel this nervousness on the phone there?
Sir, I've been trying to make an urgent phone call up there.
I don't think it's something I want to do on an overseas phone.
You gotta make some phone calls. Hang up the phone. Prank caller.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to Packernet After Dark. This is the call-in show, the Packernet Podcast Network. If you'd like to call in, if you'd like to participate in the show, please feel free to do so. Phone number here is 608-501-0718. New callers go directly to the front of the line. We don't have any new callers today, but we do have Jersey Mike, and that feels like a good enough place to start.
Hey, it's Jersey Mike again. I just wanted to mention, Jeremiah Trotter's from New Jersey. Just that's important.
Sure, yeah,
right?
Definitely.
Like that's the most important thing. Jersey boy. I don't care what you say, Jersey boy. But beyond that, I know my expectations for this upcoming season are very high.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in this team in ways I don't think I've really believed in the Packers ever before. And I'm so thankful for Jordan Love because of it. Because realistically, let's be honest. Jordan Love, this upcoming season, he could regress a little bit in certain aspects. Let's say that we saw the best of Jordan Love last season. I'm not saying that's true. I'm just saying, let's say that's true. We saw the best Jordan Love will ever be. Let's nix off the first half of the season,
yep,
or whatever, where he's playing bad,
yep,
and just focus on how he was playing down the stretch. If we could have that Jordan Love for the rest of our time as Packers fans, I think we're fine. I don't see him, so maybe the word is not regression, more of maybe hitting his floor and staying there. I think Jordan Love has a lot of potential. But he's spurty, like Brett Favre was. But I'm okay with that. Like I said, I'm willing to die by the sword, but also kill other people with the sword, right? So you live by the sword, you die by the sword. Jordan Love, Brett Favre, that's how they did it. Aaron Rodgers did not do that, and that's what I hated about Rodgers so much. And I complained a lot about him just not throwing the ball at the guys that were kind of open, you know, forcing passes in some lanes, because he was just afraid to, like, throw over the middle. I know a lot of us complained about that. But the more and more I think about it, if Jordan Love just levels out and just plays like he did last year without that horrible beginning, and the rest of this team kind of just like comes along and they do their thing and the defense gets right, man, we're Super Bowl contenders all day long. All day long. So really, we got to get some guards, maybe a running back, but that's about it on offense. It's really the defense. And I think this draft is primed for defensive players to come here. I'm just so excited for it. Can we have the draft right now? I want the draft right now. I want to be able to talk about the draft. Like, oh, hey, we love these guys.
3 minutes got them. Yeah. And again, getting back to the Jordan Love thing, I don't want to make it seem as though my contention is he's going to regress. I'm simply looking at it going, you know, we got 1 year to look at, really. Of that year, it's kind of split into two halves. So really, it's like, I don't even mind disregarding the first half necessarily, because if you told me one of these two halves was real and one of them was fake, I would say the first one was definitely fake. Because somebody that performs, somebody who is as good as Jordan was through the first 8 weeks, does not do what he did from weeks 9 through the wild card. Like, I don't think they have the ability to pull that off. Now, could you do it in reverse where it's like he's a good quarterback, it just took him 8 weeks, 9 weeks to get rolling? Like, yeah, that makes significantly more sense. But I'm certainly not, I'm not saying I know, I'm not saying, I'm just saying I have no idea what's going on. The one of the positives, though, is some of these guys, you look at it and go, it wasn't that good. It was like a 3-game stretch. It was a 4-game stretch. No, I mean, it was the entire time. I mean, you take the divisional game out because that was his, like, second worst game of the entire year. It was rough. But from week 9 through the wild card, there is no time where, because I was even thinking about what you were saying, and it's like, okay, let's cut off the tops and the bottom. What's left? Nothing. There's first half, really not good. Second half, best quarterback in football. Right? I mean, you look at it and go, well, he had an 80 and a 70 weeks 9 and 10. Okay? And then he had weeks 12 and 13. It was an 87 and a 92. Like, is that just like some fluky thing where it kind of levels off? No, not really. And then he kind of, you know, he goes back down. That was the Giants, Tampa Bay, Carolina run. And then he goes, what, 77, 91, 83, 93. So there isn't like, you know, a 74 stretch, but then there's like a couple 90s. And it's like, all right, let's get those 90s out of here. But then we'll get the 50s and 60s out of here. And let's just say he's probably resting in the 70s. He just didn't have that period. He never had two, quote unquote, good games in a row where you just have like 70s or even 80s. He had a stretch of basically two 90s. He had an 80 and a 70. And then he had a 4-game stretch of 70, 90, 80, 90. So there's no, like, just let's just chop off the top. The top was his entire second half of the season. So, again, I'm certainly not trying to be a Debbie Downer. I am beyond excited. Everything about it points to special, especially when you watch what he did and realize like some of that stuff is impossible. And again, remember, I'm the guy that was like very uncomfortably talking about, you know, if somebody's going to be like a Pat Mahomesy guy, that's him. Like, he's either great or he's kind of crap. And then, you know, as the season was going on, like, this is amazing because this is the great and all that. All I'm trying to do is like bring it down just a touch and just be like, you know, let me phrase it this way. That might be a little bit more palatable. It's not impossible that he's not a super elite quarterback, right? It's not impossible. He may level off back down to something else. And I don't know what that would be because we never got a chance to see it. Other than like, well, maybe he's kind of like that one Carolina game. Like, and that's what he is forever. You know, I mean, so I don't know. But long story slightly shorter, I am very excited about Jordan Love. And I keep forgetting, like, I love the offseason, but sometimes we get so lost in the weeds of like the draft picks and this and that. And it's like, bro, do you remember what Jordan Love did? Do you have any recollection of how amazing that was? Or Jaden Reed, who was like breaking records, and it's like, are you serious? I feel like he didn't even do anything. Like, I don't remember it. Like, I know he was good, but it didn't feel that good, you know. And Christian Watson, again, injured a lot, but he still had, it was like a 2-game stretch, but he still showed that like unbelievable ceiling that he has for the second year in a row, where it's like, oh man, if we could just get him healthy and rolling, man, oh my goodness. Dontayvion Wicks from the top rope, like, where did he come from, man? We got Josh Jacobs. We have a new defensive coordinator. Like, it's just, and that's part of what we get lost in too, talking about the defense. It's like, this whole thing really is centered around Jordan Love. You know, I'm panicked about who the Vikings might get and, you know, scared of like Caleb might be good or whatever. Like, those are, but all that's going to mean is they have a Jordan Love. So they're on equal footing. Okay. Best of luck. Look, if the Packers are going to win a Super Bowl, it's by beating good teams. And if one of those good teams happens to be the Bears, the Lions, or the Vikings, then so be it. But you have to face and beat good teams. So that's it. But what matters is the Packers are one of those good teams, and you're right to be excited. I'm very excited.
Yo, Ryan, what up? Hey, this is Nico. I haven't written any songs about feminine products lately, so I figured I'd just call and talk about actual football stuff.
Thanks.
So I was kind of just thinking about the Devondre Campbell thing. It's like, it's such a bummer that he had to get all whiny and complaining. You know, I wish his response would have been, hey, Green Bay, thank you for picking me out of obscurity, paying me fat, and allowing me to play a couple years. And really, let's face it, after you got paid, he didn't do a whole lot. So, which is on him. Injuries or not, it's still on him, you know. Sometimes it's just not their fault that stuff happens. But instead, you got to be all whiny and saying he wasn't respected or whatever. I tell you what, if my boss comes up to me at my work and holds his hand out and says, hey, Nico, you are my best employee at your position. And I just respect and like you so much, and holds his hand up, shake my hand. I'm like, no, there's nothing in your hand, dog. If you like me that much, pay me. Well, they paid Devondre Campbell. That's why I even when Rodgers complained about how they didn't do nothing for Jordy, well, they paid Jordy pretty good while he was there.
Paid him a lot of money.
You know, they didn't do nothing for, they didn't do nothing for what was it? He's complaining about, Matthews, so they paid him fat, right? So, that's how you show respect. If your billion-dollar company says, you know, your division's the best division in the district, and then they give you, you know, five-dollar pizzas to celebrate, you'd be like, no, just how about you give me $20 more an hour? So Devondre got paid, and then he got bitter, so, it's a bummer. The other thing I was thinking, I was just kind of like brainstorming in my brain, because my brain doesn't really stop much. Like, why did all these, you know, I think you did one, Herman did one, and someone else did one about all the coordinators and low-level coaching guys we signed this year that were just phenomenal.
Yeah.
And really could get, like, you know, full-time coordinator jobs, not, you know, assistant coordinator jobs at other places, but they all came here. It's like, you know why they're doing that? Because Green Bay stock is about to shoot up. It's because of Jordan Love and really Goody. We're all them Goody haters now. Remember 2 years ago when there was people hated Goody? Where'd they all go? I mean, are they eating crow yet, or are they just being real quiet? I guess they're probably being real quiet. But anyway, that's just the fact that all them coaches came here when they probably could have gotten better jobs somewhere else. They want to ride the train. They know Green Bay stock is going up, and they want to get a piece of that. Oh, hello.
Yeah, Goot hating is no longer in vogue. It used to be the cool thing to do. Now there's like the hardcore Goot haters who are basically just trolls at this point. They lost the argument. They know they have. They're not even trying to be serious anymore. They just post pictures of like Gutekunst dressed as a clown. They're kind of a joke at this point. But that is a good point about the money, especially Devondre Campbell. That guy, can you imagine if he never came to Green Bay? He was a joke, making no money. I'm sorry. He was bad. And he would have made, you know, a couple million bucks. I mean, that's what the Packers paid him at first, probably a couple million bucks or whatever to come over. If he had gone somewhere else and continued to play the way he did, he might have gotten maybe one or two more contracts for a couple million more dollars. He got big time paid. And the reason he got big time, yes, he deserves some credit for actually doing the work. But why was he not doing it before? It's because the Packers and Joe Barry, like him or hate him, used him correctly and used him in a way that suited his skill set, and he flourished. And yeah, he got massively paid and a ton of notoriety and a big time, you know, pile of respect and everything else that comes along with it, along with future contracts that he's going to continue making more money than he would have made previously and probably extend his NFL career even longer. All of that is due to the Packers, who reached out and believed in you. And to acknowledge that and to have the attitude that he has, to me, is it's not great. Like, I get to some degree you're all competitive people and you're going to get pissy and you're going to fight when, like, the team lets you go. I get that, right? Devondre, Rodgers, whoever, right? But, I mean, at some point, freaking control yourself. You know what I mean?
Like, well, it's just me. I'm just competitive.
No, you're lashing out like a child, dude. Calm down. But whatever. It is what it is, I guess.
Yeah, I'm 30 minute monster, man. I get you.
Yeah,
but
I get it.
They want to hop on the Green Bay Packer train because our stock is rising. And, you know, that they come here for 2-3 years. And because this team, there ain't no ceiling on this team. We're the youngest. I mean, we are probably the highest ceiling team that I can think of in the NFL, save for maybe, you know, the Texans, because they're also very young. Not as young as us. Dude, our ceiling isn't even on the planet. We could be a dynasty. We could win 5 Super Bowls in 10 years. You never know. So these coordinators, they want to get a piece of that. They want to come in, because you know what happens when you come in like that? You become a head coach somewhere. How many head coaches popped out of the Mike Holmgren era? Lots of them. So I think Andy Reid was one of them. So, yeah, I mean, if that doesn't just give you a steroid shot to the heart, I tell you what, I am so jacked for the upcoming season, more so than I've ever been. And I can't say that, but, like, I wasn't really jacked last year. I was kind of like, oh, my gosh, fingers crossed. Hopefully we don't suck. But this year, I tell you, if we start the season like we ended last year, there's no telling. I can't already wait to hear all the people complaining like they're doing already. You know, you see the things up there. It's not fair. Green Bay gets 3 quarterbacks in a row. Yeah. Yeah, waiting 15 years, we get our 4th, sucker. Anyways, I just thought to inject a little bit of positivity. And I hope you all feeling as jacked as I am, all jacked up on Mountain Dew. Go Pack Go.
I haven't seen that movie in a long time. That's a good movie. It's funny, I've mentioned before how there seem to be these themes that it's almost like you guys get together and discuss it. You and Jersey Mike just randomly call in one after the other and be like, you know what? I just realized I'm super jacked about the Packers this year. They're going to be awesome. But you're right. I think there's a bunch of guys that are on the fast track. They're probably we have a lot of guys in positions that they're overqualified for. And it's almost like they're going to take a year, reset, do some damage, and then go get those jobs, which unfortunately means we're probably going to lose them, but get in here, instill that culture, and I agree, man. This is how you build something special. It's just about taking the right next steps, and that's going to come down to the coaching staff and the front office and everybody else. I mean, there's work to be done, but they're right there. Anyways, let's take our first break. We'll come back and hear from Uncle Rico. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for 5. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey.
Ryan,
Uncle Rico here. Hey, I was listening. I'm kind of caught up. That's cool. So since you were slacking, you know, I got cut up, buddy.
There you go.
Anyway, I was curious. I've heard a couple times people mention that there's some debate over whether the Packers would be better off if they had an owner. Is that a real thing? Packer fans, supposedly Packer fans actually saying like that, like the Packers would be a better team if they had an owner. Because that's BS.
Well, it's like I said before, I don't know how seriously people actually take that or how deep they really think about it beyond just, we never do the cool stuff that I want to do, and so we'd be better with an owner. And that's why we don't win. You know, it's just, I could be wrong, but it just feels like shallow thinking.
I mean, we all know that. Packer fans, that's why we're Packer fans, because we don't deal with owners. We are the owners. Me and you, Ryan. You an owner, Ryan?
Nailed it.
Because we're owners. I just want to say that people who think the Packer fans, who think the Packers should have an owner, they're not Packer fans. So get out. Go. Later. Rico out.
I always wonder how that would go. If we could actually convince some of these people to go be fans of other teams, if they would actually learn anything. You know what I mean? I feel like not. I feel like they'd go somewhere else and they'd have the same complaints and then they would just assume that somebody else is doing it right. And you could pass them through all 32 teams over the course of 32 years and at best you'd get them to just say they're all stupid or something. You know what I mean? It's just, I don't know. I just feel like there's no way to break through and have just a honest, sensible discussion, so it's not really worth anybody's time.
Yo, Ryan, it's Uncle Rico. Hey, do you think, not that I want this, but the Packers, if any of the top five QBs, like Penix maybe, drops into the second round and is available when the Packers pick, for sure their second pick, they'd have to take him, wouldn't they? The 88 pick? Do you think they'd take him? What do you think? Rico out. Later.
I'm guessing no. Not to say it's impossible that they take a quarterback. Obviously, they value quarterbacks, but I don't think they're drafting a quarterback. not early anyways. I don't think that's going to be a part of their strategy. It's like, well, they take the best player available. Well, or you can trade back. You don't have to draft somebody in that spot. If there's only one person available on that tier that you have, and it happens to be a quarterback, I would guess they'd rather trade back and still recoup the value. So that would be my guess. I don't think they're taking a quarterback early.
Hey, Ryan, it's Jersey Mike. So, still going back to some of Clayton's episodes. Talking about safety and how much they love Tyler Newbin and, but he's not, you know, the guy you want to pick at 25, but he's going to be good after that before we pick again. And he's probably the best safety in the draft. Well, I have to disagree. There's not a lot of tape on this guy. I've mentioned him before to you. His name is Trey Taylor out of Air Force. And I'm telling you, he's the best safety in this draft. Well, sorry. He's not the best free safety. He's the best strong safety in this draft. My personal favorite pick for safety is Javon Bullard, but he's a hybrid free safety nickel corner kind of guy. Kind of like Darnell Savage. I'm not as fast as Savage, but a better tackler and a more ferocious hitter. I'm really high on this Trey Taylor guy. And there's one reason why. He hits like a linebacker. And he's really, except for run fits, he's never really out of position. His problem on runs is he likes to overrun pursuit angles sometimes, which I think is compensation for a lack of help at Air Force. I mean, these guys who go into Air Force, they're smart guys. They're not pure athletes. You don't recruit for these military teams for athletes. They recruit these are officers. These are guys who are very intelligent, who are in the military or going into the military to be officers. And that's why they're at school and they just happen to be athletes. Trey Taylor, though, is a guy who could go, in my opinion, to any school in any conference and play lights out. He just happens to be a military boy, and he wanted to be in the Air Force, so that was his route. I just think there's not a strong safety that hits like him. I don't think there's a strong safety that can cover like him. Again, I think a lot of the problems that he had in college were because of bad help. He just did not have guys around him. And so he was kind of left out on an island sometimes. But my thing is, he's got all the mentals. Like I said, he's going to college to be an officer in the Air Force. I think personally, that means he's super freaking smart, and he can fix any problems he has. Anyway, what do you think? Go Pack, go.
Yeah, it's tough. I couldn't find much on him. Just a couple YouTube videos, highlight videos, which it's not even the good highlight videos. It's the annoying ones where they just have these little flashes where I can't even see what's going on. All of a sudden the play is over and it's like, okay, cool. And then there's loud rap music playing. It's like, I don't know, man. I can't. Great, I guess. You got an interception. I don't know. But I know we looked at him already. You had called in about him, and from a statistical standpoint and the fit standpoint, it seemed to work. I think height, weight are real good for him, too. I know he's a Dallas Cowboys fan. I know he's a Jim Thorpe Award winner. He compared himself to Jamal Adams, being kind of a box guy. That's about all I know, though. Seems to be a good fit.
Okay, back to Trey Keller real quick. By the way, Jersey Mike again. I'm just reading stuff about him. Did you know that he is related to none other than Ed Reed?
Oh, that's not what I thought you were going to say.
He's related to Ed Reed. I don't need to hear anything more. I don't want to talk anything more. Draft Trey Taylor. I don't care. Do it. Goodbye.
Anybody else think he was going to say Sean Taylor? Because that was, yeah. But no, Ed Reed, that's fantastic.
Hey, what's up, Ryan? Kyle from Madison. How are you, man?
Hey, good.
So, just quick take. I'm wondering, Brock Bowers, what do you think of him? I don't know much about him, but I've seen him at times very highly regarded this year. I see him dropping in some drafts. In some drafts, he's taken like 9, 10, 11. I've seen him dropping. I've had him drop a couple times. I don't do too many of them, but I have had him drop down towards us. I've seen that in a couple drafts. I don't know anything about the guy. I doubt the Packers would take a tight end of all things round one. However, I mean, I guess if they thought he was some kind of Tony Gonzalez or something, I don't think Gutekunst would hesitate to snag somebody like that. What do you know about him? If he's there, is that even a remote possibility? How good do you think that guy is? I just listened to the pod about that. You were actually replying to one of my questions, but I was talking about, you know, the Packers ignoring draft picks with really bad knee injury.
All right. I think we're moving on to something else. So, honestly, not a ton. I haven't even thought about Brock Bowers in a long time. I think it's possible he falls. I don't think to 25. In fact, I would almost, well, it's hard to say fall because who knows where he's even at right now. But, you know, given he's a tight end, and I think there's a lot of questions. Well, a couple things. Number one, tight end is not the most valuable position as we know. But there's also a lot of players at valuable positions that are available. There's a lot of quarterbacks. There's a lot of wide receivers. There's corners that are flying up the board. There's offensive tackles. So that could easily push a guy like Brock Bowers down. And then there's also, you know, there was a ton of hype about Bowers that I don't know if it's just going quiet because nobody's felt like talking about it in a while or if it's just cooling. But, I mean, the last time I heard people talking about him, it's like, yeah, he's kind of like Kyle Pitts. He's just not as big and not as fast. And it's like, well, okay. I mean, in this draft, would you even expend a top 10 pick on Kyle Pitts today? Maybe. He's not bad. I don't know if I would use a top 10 pick on him. And if he's sort of a lesser, and I'm not saying he is, that was just one person that I had heard, and being not as fast doesn't mean not as good, but still. And then, you know, he's pure receiver. There's no blocking ability you're getting from him, which, you know, obviously that's the more important thing, but you'd kind of hope for, you know, if you're pick 10 to 15 or something, that you have some blocking ability. So again, I could see him dropping. The hard part I have is, if he drops to 25, would the Packers be the team to do it? Maybe they would. I don't think it's out of the question, but as soon as he gets to 25, you know, my first thought is, holy crap, could this actually be happening? My second thought would be, why did he get here? And for whatever those reasons are, I have to think, you know, I just always think of the Packers as being the more, I'm trying to think of a better word than responsible, but that's kind of the only one that's coming to mind right now, as far as, like, you know, not going the risky route. So again, whatever the things are that brought him, well, it's because he's a tight end or this or that. The Packers, I don't see as the team that are going to be the one to be like, I don't care, we're doing it. If we didn't get Musgrave and Kraft, not that that's prohibiting, but it's just another thing where it's not one of our biggest needs to get a third tight end on the roster. I guess here's the thing. I think he falls. I don't think he falls to 25, and I don't think the Packers trade up for him. And that's about as much at this time until we start to hear news that he's really falling. When I start to see him like slide into the 20s consistently, it may be time to think like, okay, let's legitimately, like, what are the odds? I'm saying sub 50%. Clearly. I mean, sub 50% for everybody that's available there, but less odds than the other standard guys, whether it be Cooper DeJean or Tyler Guyton or whoever.
Or draft picks with maybe with really bad knee injury history. Just what it looked like if you assumed that. And I thought it's really interesting, especially if you look at running backs. Because I do think the Packers are going to need... I know we got Jacobs in, but like you were talking about, it's basically a one-year deal. So it just seems, and I don't think that they think Dylan is long-term. He might not even make the team this year, which tells me they probably are going to pick up at least one running back this draft if just the pass is prologue, you know? And if I'm looking at these running backs just through the lens of, well, which of these guys is young and which of these guys doesn't have an injury history, you know, beyond, of course, every running back's going to miss some games, but beyond some sprains and some joints and stingers and stuff, which of these guys has been hurt? And it's kind of interesting because I know you like Brooks. He did, and his last year ended at Texas with an ACL.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Corum, I like Corum a lot. He did have a total meniscus done.
Yep.
Trey Benson, man, he had a horrible knee injury. So, you know, kind of looking at it through that lens, there's two guys in particular. Jalen Wright, if you want the shifty back who can cut, right? He's been healthy. And then if you want a zone running back who's huge, think about Braylon Allen. He doesn't have he can't do the juke moves and whatnot, but you get that guy any kind of hole, and he just goes running right through it and just plows people over. So, and he just turned 20 years old, no major injury. I don't know much about Estime, actually, Audric Estime from Notre Dame, but just those two caught my eye straight away. So I want to get your reaction on that.
Well, and again, I got to go back and kind of take a second look, and if there's anything in particular about these guys that you like and want me to focus in on, or games that you think I should watch, whatever. But Braylon Allen, I could not get into at all. I understand theoretically the kind of running back he is, but I watched it and there was just nothing appealing to me. The only guy that I had less appeal in, I think, was Audric Estime. Even when I saw somebody recently on Twitter put up a video of like, this is what makes Estime a good running back. And I watched it and I'm like, well, all right, that kind of seals it for me. Like if that's the peak, I mean, cool. He like, you know, ran and didn't fall or something. I don't even know, man. I really don't know. Sometimes I change my mind. Sometimes, you know, you kind of catch something. You're like, oh, I didn't notice that before, you know, but, yeah, those two guys in particular, I really struggle trying to understand the excitement. I know that they're big guys, and if I saw them do cool big guy stuff, I would like it. I just didn't really see it. I know that they're big. I know theoretically it's kind of like A.J. Dillon. Like when you hear his size and his speed and all that stuff put together, you're like, oh, that's awesome. But then you watch him play, and it's like, I don't know. I don't see it. One guy I did see it out of was the second, I forget his name, but the second running back out of Ohio State. He was one of the first running backs I watched, and I watched him just level a guy. I was like, holy crap. But anyways, let's take our final break. We'll be right back.
Hey, Kyle again.
What's up?
Real quick, I was just listening to you talk about, you know, if we had an extra pick next year, got in the top half of the draft and then picked the safety, because you were listing off, you know, all of the projected really good safeties that'll, you know, possibly be going in the 2025 draft, how cool that would be. But yeah, I think you're forgetting too. Come on. Who do you think's going to be the delegate for Green Bay to read off our draft pick, you know, right? If not first, second, as soon as they're, I don't know if Goodell does them all anymore or how that works, but does he do the whole first? Well, they'll make an exception because you know who's going to read ours, right? It's got to be Leroy Butler, right? It's got to be Leroy Butler reading off the draft pick. Picking a safety in the top 10 if we trade out in the first this year, Leroy Butler right in front of Lambeau. Dude, I mean, that'd be an epic situation. All right, take care, buddy.
Yeah, and again, with Xavier McKinney on the team now, I doubt they would. It was kind of cool. We've been looking at safeties for such a long time. Hypothetical question, Packers pick high, and then you look and there's just these stud safeties just sitting there. So it kind of got me excited for a half a second, but I calmed myself. But I get what you're saying. It's going to be interesting to see. I just want to hear the roar of the crowd, because that's always an interesting dynamic when you get a Chicago Bears person up there. Somebody tries to roast the crowd, see how that goes. We'll see if that happens. And then getting a Packer up there, which maybe it's Butler. I don't know. I think he did it already. So I don't know if they're going to give it to him again or have somebody else do it. But I'm hoping the crowd is pretty raucous for that.
Hey, Ryan, this is Trucker Bob.
Hey.
It's a beautiful sunny day here in Florida. I'm at home.
Oh, man.
It's in the 60s, sunshiny, blue skies.
Sounds beautiful.
You know, whiffs of clouds floating overhead, hardly any wind. It's a beautiful day. Anyway, I got a reminder for you.
Okay.
Last year, you talked about what are we going to do at the draft next year? I mean, wouldn't it be cool if we had some kind of clothing? And all sorts of suggestions came up, and the one I suggested was headbands, because they're useful. I can use them around the garden and elsewhere besides being at the draft. And the idea of having Packernet After Dark or your name or whatever on the headband and all us supporters wearing them, we would be unique, especially if we all sat together in one section and the camera at times would pan on us. It would be the most visible in the arena. Anyways, it's a year away, but you need to decide what you want to use and get it designed and ready to go. So when this fall, when the games are going on, you can promote your product. Now, my idea was a headband. You had some other ideas you liked also. But this is something, maybe, I don't know if you've forgotten about it or it's on the back burner. You need to pull it off the back burner probably after the draft and before we get into, the summer stuff, and get with somebody to design and get ready to make and promote your product this fall. Anyway, that is my reminder to you. Ryan, have a good day. Trucker Bob out.
Yeah, no, that's the way most normal people would handle it. Let me tell you the way that I generally go about doing things. I'm going to forget about it, and then occasionally someone like you will bring it up, and I'll say, yeah, definitely got to do that. And then I'm going to forget about it again. I might look into it a little bit and kind of get some ideas, half seriously, you know. And then the draft will roll around, and there will be nothing. And I'll be honest, it'll be lucky if I actually end up going, because I'm going to procrastinate and put off everything. I'm not going to have a place to stay. It's going to be last minute. I'm going to feel overwhelmed and stressed, and I'm just going to be like, well, you guys have fun. I'll just do the stream from here. So again, I'm fully intending to be there. I just want you to understand that the ideas are grandiose, and then usually as we get closer and closer, the actuality of what's going to happen is smaller and smaller. So if I can just be there, that would be a win. If I could just get myself to get in a car and get there, boy, oh boy, that is it's a win and a half right there.
What's up? Hey, I just want to put my 2 cents worth in. You're kind of always commenting about how Caleb Williams turns out to be something and things along that line, how that's not good. But I think it's good, in my opinion. I think that we want to play good teams and have good games.
Nah.
I mean, there's no pride in beating the Bears when they stink. Yay, we beat the Bears the last 6 games in a row. Well, they suck, so who cares? It's like
I care a lot.
Special kid in the freaking race, you know?
Yeah.
Yay, I'm awesome.
Yeah.
So, anyways, my 2 cents, I hope Caleb Williams is good, and I hope we still beat him. It'll be awesome.
But we won't. You know what I mean? Like, we'll win sometimes, but then we'll lose sometimes, and it's going to be like 50-50. It's going to be frustrating. Look, in theory, that all sounds nice, you know? It sounds like, oh, yeah, I want to beat the best. Yes, I want to beat the best in the playoffs. In the regular season, no, not the Bears, sorry. Maybe, you know, pick one team, fine, I guess. Vikings once in a while, Lions right now, I guess. So the other two have to suck. Not dealing with it. I'm not doing it. Especially with Caleb, like, we're theorizing not just the Bears are good. Like, in 2018, they had a really good defense, but Trubisky was garbage, and it lasted for 1 year. That's tolerable. I can't handle 20 years of this guy gets all the credit, and Jordan Love is overshadowed, and we win against the Bears once in a while because, hey, you know, pride or whatever. F that. We're going to decimate the Bears and laugh in their faces forever is my plan.
It'll give us something to look forward to, keep us on the edge of our seat.
Yes, winning.
Nothing worse than falling asleep during
a... I don't know. We're different on this, Uncle Rico. I don't enjoy the whole edge of the seat, cardiac pack thing. I don't enjoy that at all. I am at my happiest in life when we're up by 20 points and there's no end of that in sight. In other words, 20 will become 27. You know, it'll just continue on into forever. Until they throw in the frickin' white flag or, you know, the game ends. But that's when I'm at my happy place. And maybe I'm weird. But the whole edge of your seat, we're about to lose to the Bears. I can't believe this. Oh, man, we barely pulled out a win. And then I got to come on here and hear about we have nothing to be happy about. That was bull crap. It was da-da-da-da. And it's like, I know. Just give me a second. I'm trying to catch my breath. I just, you know... I should maybe enjoy it. I don't. I enjoy when our team is the best in football, and it's even better when the Bears are the worst in football, and it shows.
Your Bears game. You know what I'm saying? All right, buddy. Rico out.
Yeah, so that's my thing. Call in and let me know where you fall on that. I get it in theory. I understand. It would be great if the Bears were really good, but we were just better. But even that, like, I don't know if I can even say that. I don't want the Bears to be good. I want them to suck. I want them to be miserable. I want that. I love that their franchise is a joke, which is funny because it was like, we used to say this about the Lions. Now it's basically the Bears. Like, the Bears used to have some semblance of pride. Like, they're probably never going to win a Super Bowl or have a good quarterback, but, you know, they got defense. Da, 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 da. I just, you know. I don't know, man. I think I never want them to be good ever. And I couldn't give a crap about, you know, the competition aspect or whatever. Or it's not a real rival. Good, then call it a different name. I don't like rivalries. I like beatings. I like vicious, brutal, borderline evil, you know, beatings. It's what I'm into.
Hey, Ryan, it's Rich from South Carolina.
What's
haven't
up?
Called in for a while. First of all, wanted to just thank you for all you and the rest of the Packernet crew do.
Yeah.
Being kind of the soundtrack of my life a lot of times. Just appreciate hearing the Packers news, even during the slow times. The second was I was just thinking about how 400 Stellantis former Chrysler employees were recently let go.
by a virtual meeting. They were told to stay home, and there was a special virtual meeting. They got no notice. And that just got me thinking about the context of these NFL employees, NFL players, and how we get, you know, emotionally tied up to them. And they're like it's almost like a favorite character on a TV show gets killed. And
yeah,
we get upset about it. But I mean, most people in the real world, they don't get a whole lot of fanfare when they're let go. And the other part of it I was thinking is we just don't, I mean, we sort of see the top of the apple bin or the apple basket, the shiniest apples for these guys' characters, but we don't really know who a lot of these guys are. I mean,
sure.
Consider what we saw out of Brett afterwards and Aaron after their...
It's almost better that we don't know, you know? It's weird because... You know, I've said, and I kind of stand by it, I enjoy that players are more vocal. I want to know more. I'm in the information business, you know, give me all the information. Give me the, you know, whether it's just for the sake of drama, which is funny sometimes, or, you know, that just that it's something to, you know, the offseason used to be just everybody was quiet. Now with social media and everybody has a podcast, I mean, there's information flowing everywhere and people just talk. But I do think that it kind of means the death of what we used to have, which is these guys are just superheroes. You know, you only saw them on TV. Maybe, I mean, you'd see them in past, you know, or somebody, I saw Brett Favre. I remember my uncle one time saw Brett Favre at Brett Favre Steakhouse, and he got him to sign like a coaster, which I still have probably 20 feet from me or whatever. But like, if you see these guys in public, it's like, oh my goodness, I couldn't believe it. You don't see them anywhere. You don't, I mean, they're maybe in the news, like sports news, but you see them on Sunday and that's it. You don't see them any ever again. You don't hear them. They don't have opinions. They don't go on talk shows. There's no social media. There's barely an internet. Not one that anybody really uses. So they can just be these mythical features, mythical creatures that show up on Sunday and do magical things. And they're so fun and they're so wonderful. And maybe that's part of the reason why Brett Favre was a little bit more beloved than Rodgers. And, you know, I mean, it could have gone deeper than that a little bit, I suppose. But as news and clickbait and stuff started to get going, and there were, even before Rodgers was really talking, there were rumors swirling, and we knew who he's dating, and da-da-da-da. It's just, you know, it just changes stuff. But you're right. I mean, that there is another side, and generally you don't end up admiring them more. They're certainly not superhuman. They're just people. You know, I mean, that's the thing with Devondre, too, is... You realize, just using him as an example, he's just a dude. You know, no different than, you know, some guys handle things differently. Everybody's an individual. It's kind of like what I talked about with Aaron Rodgers when it was like we're trying to decide if people like him or not. It's like, what do you mean people? There are people in that locker room that probably love him. Then there are some that can't stand him. And that information is irrelevant because that's how it is everywhere with everyone. Every workplace has people that like you and don't like you and people that you like and don't like. And it's, you realize everyone's just a person and kind of that sucks a little bit. They're just, you know, I mean, obviously they're superhuman in their athletic abilities, but aside from that, they're just people. And some of them are going to say stuff and some of them aren't. And some of them are going to be grateful and some of them aren't. And there's not a whole lot of mystery there. It's just people being people.
Packers career, they, you know, you kind of see some oddities there that we probably overlooked earlier in their career. So, yeah, I mean, like, for example, Aaron Jones, that I was sad to see him leave the team, but, sad for him. I mean, he's going to be just fine. And, you know, he's got plenty of time to recover with his life and get in a new direction and all that stuff, but. Anyway, just thinking that we're maybe taking a little bit, maybe we get a little bit too upset about how we treat some of our highly compensated employees at the Packers, and maybe they'll be okay. That's all. Take it easy. Bye.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's multiple things there. There's the angle of, I mean, obviously they're going to be fine. They're multimillionaires, freaking cry me a river. Then there's the question of, like I've said, what exactly happened? You know, there's allegations that people are bad human beings, right? This is the allegation you're bringing forward. Brian Gutekunst in the front office, they're bad people, and they don't treat people right. Like, well, that's a pretty serious allegation. What proof do you have? What proof do you have? If your only proof is some people have said it, well, other people have said that's absolutely untrue, and it's including Devondre, by the way, who went off on a tirade, and then later was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not bad-mouthing the Packers. It's a grade-A organization. I'm so happy that I was there or whatever. But if what you're saying is some people are spiteful toward the organization that let them go and arrogantly believe that they should have some kind of a right to stay or right to be paid beyond what they're worth because of what they've done for the, you know, I don't know. I would love to know the specifics. There's only one time somebody had mentioned something in terms of specifics that I thought that is not probably the best way to handle that. And that was when I heard how Mike McCarthy was fired. And honestly, it wasn't like disgustingly evil. It was just kind of like, oh, that's little less than I would have expected. But at the same time, obviously it's a high pressure or high stress, not great situation. And I'm sure Mike McCarthy didn't want to hang out in your office anyways. But the story, as I remember it, I don't know if it came from Mike McCarthy or what, but essentially somebody came up to Mike and was like, hey, I think Murphy or whatever wants to see you in his office. And, you know, at that point, you know, you're probably getting fired. And he goes in there and essentially it was like a 2-second meeting saying, you know, we're going in a different direction. And that was it, you know. But again, it's even that is like, OK, how should that have been handled? Should you give this guy like the whole sob story, like, Mike, man, we love you so much. You know that, you know, and I could just envision at that point, Mike McCarthy would cut him off and be like, just get to the effing point. What are we doing? Are you firing me right now? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, man. I don't know how gracious you can be when you say you're not good enough to be here and we're not going to pay you anymore. You're fired. But beyond that, I don't know. And again, even if you can come up with instances, I would then need to hear how other teams handle it to know that this is a uniquely awful place to be that doesn't treat people well. And then there's also the factor of, you know, I don't want to say I don't give a crap because you should be nice to people or, you know, show them some kind of respect, which you do later on, right? Right now is not the part where I tell you how great you are and everything. Now is the part where I let you know that we're moving on. Later, we're going to, you know, hang a jersey of you somewhere or something. You know, we'll figure that out. Put you in some Hall of Fame, whatever. Today, I'm firing you. I forgot what I was going to say. Anyways, I don't even remember what we're talking about, but yeah, I'm not supremely worried about it. I understand that people get upset and they're not going to be happy, and that's fine. But the only question that should matter is this the right decision? And if people want to be mad on the way out, then that's up to them. But for me, it's not a matter of how they feel about the situation. I don't expect them to feel happy that they just got let go. The question is, was this the right move? That's it. So, and yes, you're right. They'll be fine. But anyways, I'm going to get out of here. You guys have a good rest of your day. I'll talk to you tonight, tomorrow, whatever. Have a good one. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.